This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
Let's do this thing.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
I'm not familiar with rap. Give me Hendrix any day and I'll go from there.
According to Jim is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
Bullpups win! Bullpups win! Bullpups win it in overtime!
The Chiefs.
Butker's kick is up! It is right down the boulevard! And Harrison Butker kicks some, you know what!
College football and college basketball.
Eight to shoot, Hall, the runner! Loose ball, it's good! The flipper still fits!
And everything else happening in the sports world.
And the Bullpups walk it off here at McPherson Stadium! Oh, this place is going crazy!
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing, another edition of According to Jim on 96.7 FM, KBBE, or for those of you listening worldwide at midkansasonline.com. Jim Joyner joining you here on another wonderful sun therapy-filled Thursday, and joining me as always, the most popular man in McPherson, Mr. Steve Sell. Steve, do you have your Wall of Fame jacket ready to put on for tomorrow night? It's Wall of Fame night at the Roundhouse. I always touch your plaque kind of like the Notre Dame players do when they're going out onto the field. Steve's plaque in there. Do you have your jacket, your gold jacket? What do they do there for all the Wall of Fame members?
They don't have a Wall of Fame jacket.
Get you a red jacket.
Yeah, but I do have my plaque at my house.
What about a ring?
No rings. But I got my Wall of Fame plaque featured prominently. I'm very proud of that. Probably the highest honor, you know, even more than the two Sports Writer of the Year awards, probably the highest honor because that came from McPherson High, and you know I'm not a McPherson High grad, so there's
you're all Indy Bulldogs.
I'm an Indy Bulldog. I'm still an Indy Bulldog. I follow how they do, but boy, I'll tell you what, it's a lot easier covering McPherson High sports than it'd be Indy High sports because they kind of struggle in some sports. They're good in some sports, but they struggle in others.
We've got a great show today. We will dive into one thing here in just a moment, but we'll talk a little bit about Winfield as they come to town on Friday night. I just got off the phone with boys coach Connor Bouchard. We talked for about an hour, and I've said a couple of times he's a very good friend of mine, and so they're looking forward to coming here to the Roundhouse tomorrow night. The boys, he knows that there's the Wall of Fame ceremony, and so he knows they get a little bit extra time, and they are looking forward to and ready to have some fun on Friday night.
Well, about 9:30 on Friday night, they might be feeling a little different. But
might not be quite as fun.
Might not be quite as fun because it's going to probably be a long night for the Vikings. So, boys coach Kurt Kinnaman has said this is one of the better Winfield teams they've had in the last few years. They got some pretty good athletes. We saw the Matt Everett play soccer, and he's a big guy, and you know he'll do good on the boards. And Jordan Mays, Coach Kinnaman called him one of the best athletes we'll see all year.
18 per game right now.
Yeah, and he had a big game last year, I believe, down at Winfield. He had, well, I should say one big quarter. I think he scored like 11 and a quarter, and that was about the extent of his game. But the girls' game, McPherson girls should be a heavy favorite. Winfield, not very big, and this is going to be kind of a confidence boost for the McPherson girls because, you know, the first few games, it seemed like we faced nothing but six-footers plus. Of course, Kennedy Brown of Derby, 6'6", and then Miege had their skyline. But when we played somebody our own size, the Bullpup inside game picked up, especially Cassie Cook. She had 14 points up at Abilene. And I look for the Bullpups to get a lot more inside scoring tomorrow night against a small Winfield team.
So we'll talk about that a little bit more. And then to wrap up the show, we want to talk a little bit more about the Kansas City Chiefs taking on the L.A. Chargers. I've been pretty good. I haven't called them the San Diego Chargers on this show yet. I did a lot at the beginning of the year. They will take on L.A. on Saturday night at 7:30, and that will be at Arrowhead Stadium. Both of those two teams 7-6. We also want to hit on a little bit of the MLB hot stove, which you have referred to it as the cold stove. It's not quite as hot at this time.
But there's a lot of Royals talk. It's been surprising, you know.
A lot of scary Royals talk.
Yeah, if you read my column today, you know, I watch MLB. I subscribe to the MLB network. And, you know, I've been watching it off and on since the winter meeting started. And the Royals are figuring prominently, but for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah, it's not great. Well, the first thing that Steve and I wanted to dive into today is that it was almost like Christmas morning here today because Steve opened up his email and we got a 40-page PDF document sent, and it is opening up that big Christmas present. It's a big binder full of the McPherson Invitational Tournament media guide. And for those of you that don't really think that's a big deal, you ought to come read this thing, because it is full of information on every team and every year that the Bullpups have ever hosted their boys tournament. You've got every statistic for who was the leading freshman scorer in the first game of the tournament.
Right.
And it's got everything you can even imagine. And Steve, you've said that it has been behind for the last couple of years, but our guy Mark Heidebrecht, he was able to put in some big time work and put together this very impressive media guide.
Yeah, it's been a labor of love for Mark. And Carol Swenson was the guy that got it going. And then when Carol left the high school, he retired as the AD. The stats kind of sat dormant. But Mark Heidebrecht has gone in, and I think he's gotten them all updated. I think we have every stat imaginable. If you're a McPherson High basketball, boys basketball junkie, I mean, you'd really enjoy this, because it is 40 pages of the most comprehensive statistical information that you ever want to see. And
especially for high school, you can maybe see this.
And the thing is, it brought back a lot of memories for me. Some of the players that maybe I'd kind of forgotten about, and of course, one name. If you're an old timer, and I'm an old timer,
real old timer,
but I'm talking about the people that have been going to the tournament since like the 60s and the early 70s. Nino Samuel,
mm-hmm.
And he was a man child. He was 6'4", about 230, played at Salina, later Salina Central. I still remember the picture. When I used to do the tournament edition down at the newspaper, I asked the Salina Journal to send me a picture of Nino, and then they sent me a picture where he's going up to block a shot, and it looks like his head is above the rim, and he's, a 6'4", 230-pound guy back in 1971, that was considered, kind of a freak of nature.
Dude.
And he had a 54-point game against Garden City, but it also brought back so many memories of the great games that I've covered in that Invitational, and I still go back to 1991 when Garden City came here. They were a 6A school. They were riding high. They were one of the top schools in 6A. They were talking trash. But that was probably the greatest Bullpup team I've covered in 91. McPherson comes out, scores 36, I believe it was, in the first quarter. 63 in the first half, goes on to win like 97-56. And I mean, our crowd, it was, of course, back in the 90s, it was standing room only. It's not like it is now, where it's pretty full. Back then, it was standing room only. You had people around the top. They were into the game from the moment it started to the very end, because this Garden City team had kind of said, hey, we're a 6A school. We can come in here. We're not scared of any McPherson, their tradition. And the Bullpups played the perfect game that night.
Can I take a guess that there might have been an Alexander or two on those teams?
I got to think there might have been. I think Chad was actually a reserve. He was, I think, it maybe a freshman or a junior maybe then, but we had that great start, the all-time starting five. I still say to this day, you had Jonathan Coachman, Brian Vincent at forwards. You had Ryan Herz at center. You had Brian Henson and Jason Topman at guards. Any one of those guys could get 25 on a given night. Of course, they lost the I think it was the second or third game of the season to Hutchinson in double overtime. We went down to the sports arena, couldn't throw it in the ocean. And after that, other than a close call against Newton, we went to state that year, and I think we won about every game by over 30. It was the most awesome high school team I'd seen. Of course, I did not see the 77 Heights team that played in the McPherson Invitational.
Was that a Darnell Valentine
That was
team?
Darnell Valentine, the Carr brothers, Calvin Alexander, Doc Holden. Still the greatest high school team of all time. There's been numerous stories written about the 77 Heights team. They are still the best high school team of all time. Of course, Darnell and Antoine went on to play in the NBA. Doc Holden played at University of Cincinnati, where he was a big-time player. And then Calvin Alexander ended up being a professional boxer, a very good professional boxer. So they had, that was an incredible team. And I think they won the championship game that year like 102-56 or something like over KC Washington.
It's amazing. And I've said this a couple of times to you. I've said it to a couple of other people, Coach Kinnaman, Coach Strathman, that it blows my mind how well records have been kept here. And yes, this is a town that loves basketball and has been invested for a very long time. But the record books that I have in my office over there, They are so unbelievably detailed and well-maintained. And I've made the comparison a couple of times that I went to a big 6A high school that was not that old. It became a school in 1992. And with the same basketball coach that was there from the very beginning, and I wouldn't even think they would have a chance to put together the type of record book that has been put together here, that it's so well-maintained and so many people care about it. I mean, you look at the papers that we get sent with some stats about the matchup history, where you can break down every McPherson High Winfield game by who the coach was, where it was played, who won, was it in a state tournament, was it in a sub-state?
Exactly.
Who was the leading scorer in that game? The highest score you've played. It is incredible.
Yeah, the boys' book especially, it's just amazing. Goes back to 1937. And then you stop and think, look at the number of coaches McPherson High boys have had since 1937. You had Jack Randall. You had Harold Johnston, had a cup of coffee for 1 year, went 3-16. He was out of town.
What year was that?
That would have been 1956, I believe. Then Jay.
So a little before your days.
Then Jay Frazier came for 26. I was here for the end of the Jay Frazier era. Mike Hinson for 12 years, and now Kirk Kinnaman in his 23rd year. So if you take out Harold Johnston and the 1 year, which, you know, it almost doesn't look, it looks like it's out of place. It doesn't even belong. No disrespect to Harold Johnston or his family or anybody, but they were 3-16 that 1 year. But Jack Randall, Jay Frazier, Mike Hinson, and Kirk Kinnaman basically have been the only four coaches the McPherson boys have had since 1937. That's 80 years.
That's crazy.
And you just look at some of the other schools and say, how many boys basketball coaches have you had in the last 80 years? Most of them will have had 15, 20, 25, and we've had four.
Yeah, that's crazy. And you look at the numbers as well for just the Bullpup boys in their tournament, 123-36 overall. And if this tournament, if they brought in Canton Galva every year and they brought in TMP and they brought in some of the smallest schools in some weaker competition and they put up those numbers with 23 championships, you might go, wow, that's pretty good. But to look at the teams that they play, especially in the last few years when they have really bumped up the competition, where you look at the field this year, besides Bishop Carroll, it's all 6A teams. And not just 6A teams that you throw in there. You don't just take Shawnee Mission Northwest and some bad programs, Leavenworth. They are playing the best 6A programs. And that's what's so incredible about this.
Well, Derby comes back. You know, we just saw them last week. They're going to be one of the top teams in 6A. Lawrence Free State currently is ranked number 2 in 6A. Bishop Carroll's been ranked off and on in 5A. You know they're going to be good. Blue Valley West is a past state champion. Shawnee Mission East, a past state champion. Sean Hare does a great job at Shawnee Mission East, always brings in a great team. Now, Blue Valley West won't have Donnie Campbell this year. First time.
D.C.
Yeah, since Blue Valley West, Donnie was the only coach in their history, but he stepped down after last year. You got Junction City. You know, they're going to have great athletes because they're just athletic and everything. And then Wichita North comes in. Of course, when they came in the 1 year, they had Connor Frankamp.
A cool 38 points per game.
Yeah, he had 40. Yeah, he had 48 in one game in the tournament. So Wichita North always, you know, they play in the city league, so you know they've played great competition. There are no easy games in the McPherson Invitational because, you know, they've done a great job through the years always keeping the level of competition high. They don't want it to be the McPherson Invitational where you bring in a bunch of teams from McPherson to just pummel. That doesn't do you any good. This tournament is designed under the state tournament format where you play 3 games in 3 days. Of course, that's changed a little bit because, you know, if you play on Wednesday, then you play 3. But it's kind of modeled after the state tournament where you play 3 games in 3 days. You have to kind of prepare on the fly. Of course, Coach Kinnaman and his staff, they'll be already preparing for every team in this tournament. I'm sure they've already secured a lot of film.
That's what winter break is for.
Yeah, that's what winter break's for. I'm sure Coach Kinnaman will be over at my house using my DVR and big screen TV because he likes to do his scouting on a big screen so he can see it a lot better. But, boy, better scout Lawrence Free State because right now Lawrence Free State has just been pummeling people in 6A. They got some transfers. They are on par with a Bishop Miege. They're that good.
The Fire Birds. All right, coming up on the other side of the break, we will talk a little bit more about tomorrow night's game as the Bullpup teams are both 3-1, and they will welcome in 2-1-2 Winfield programs to the Roundhouse tomorrow night. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back in on According to Jim today. It's a sun therapy Thursday for Steve Sell. He's been a little bit cold the last few days.
Chill.
But able to step outside, feel the warmth of the sun. It might get up there to 60. You going to play some golf this afternoon?
Probably not. Wind's blowing a little too much. And if it's 60 and the wind's blowing, that feels about 45. And I do get a chill.
Well, it's hard to play golf in a big blue
Michelin
winter coat. Yeah, the Michelin Man winter coat when it's 60 degrees. So we'll give you a pass today that you won't be out on the golf course. Tomorrow, I think the weather's going to be pretty good, but we get some basketball tomorrow night.
Oh, Bullpup basketball. Wall of Fame night, of course. Great class going in. If you go to midkansasonline.com, I've already posted the people that are going to be honored tomorrow night. It'll be good to see some of these, you know, some of these people. Tanner Hawkinson, of course, haven't seen him in a while. Played in the NFL for a few years. Of course, he was all Big 12 at KU.
Back when KU football back, was.
Yeah, he was there when Mangino was there.
Was so, better.
Yeah, when KU football was better. And I'll be interested to get his thoughts. Which
coaches did he cross over? Obviously started with Mangino. Now, did he ever have a Charlie Weiss year?
No, he had Turner.
I figured he would have been with Turner Gill.
He started with Mangino, and then he was there with Turner Gill. And I remember talking to him when Turner Gill got the job, and he says, "We went from boot camp to the country club," is what I remember him saying, from Mangino, of course, being a pretty tough coach, to Turner Gill, who probably was afraid to, you know, curfew. What curfew? You know, you guys go out, just, you know, party it up. Have fun. Party it up. Because Turner Gill, you know, he was kind of, you know, he just wasn't a good fit. Then, of course, everywhere else he's been, he's done really well. So it just didn't work at KU for whatever reason. But great class going in. Austin Eldridge was just in town last week wrestling. He picked up a big win down at Central Christian College in the dual wrestling match. He's at Cloud County. And, of course, Ellie Ettinger, Rachel Ivers, they were a state championship tennis team. And there's others going in. But I think there's like 9 people all in all. So a really big class. And what they do is they have the automatic – there's an automatic criteria, and then there's like the Hall of Fame Veterans Committee. If you're out 10 years, then you're up there.
And that's the Hawkinson.
Hawkinson's type. Under that time because he did not meet the criteria when he was in school. You have to be All-State, All-Class, first team. Like Andrew McGill and Patrick Muncy are going in. They were All-State. In soccer, they don't have All-State, All-Class, but if you make All-State twice, you know, in your career, first team All-State twice, that's the criteria for soccer again. So it's a very, you know, it's an exclusive.
About football?
Football, All-State, All-Class, top 11. And that's why the football coaches, you know, they say, man, you guys have made it really tough. We have had some top 11 guys, you know, Dwayne Chandler, Christian Olsaker, I believe, was a top 11. You got to, of course, Christian made it as being All-State, All-Class for basketball, too. But most of those are the Veterans Committee after they're out for 10 years. And we really look at it close. We've got a lot of names that we have to sift through and determine. You know, we want it to be a pretty exclusive, you know, bunch of people on the wall.
That's why you got in. It's exclusive.
No, but I got in for meritorious service. So, and I don't know why they picked me, but anyway, I wasn't even able to, you know, I didn't have a vote. They told me, you're on the wall whether you want to be or not. So, fortunately, when I went on, I got to go on with my mentor, Carol Swenson. So, that was a great honor for me. And it's still a night that, you know, I'll never forget. But Wall of Fame night, always very special. And the Bullpups, last year it was during MIA, so that was about the only good thing that came out at night was the Wall of Fame. But with Winfield coming to town on Friday, should be a couple of really easy Bullpup victories. And then the Wall of Fame game divides the two games in the middle.
And hopefully that means it will draw a bigger crowd.
Yeah. This is our first Friday night home game.
Right, that was the point I was
going to
make.
And, you know, for a Tuesday night, we had Derby here. Last week, and what a great home crowd for a Tuesday night, because Tuesday night games, you know, they just don't draw the crowds that Friday night do. And a lot of kids are out for, you know, they're out of school, their finals are done, the kids at college, they're home for the Christmas holidays, the recent graduates. So generally, this is always a big crowd.
So when we look back at the history of the games with Winfield, and you and I were talking about how well things have been documented a little bit earlier, but as you look at this history, it is unbelievable the dominance that McPherson has had over Winfield. On the boys' side, they lead the series 71-6. On the girls' side, they lead 65-7. So when you combine those two, 136-13. And that's a whole lot of basketball games,
And if
too.
You look at Coach Kinnaman and Coach Strathman, they are a
combined.
I think it's 55-0 for those two coaches. Or no.
57.
Coach Kinnaman 38-0. Coach Strathman 19-0. Remember, there was there's a few years we didn't play Winfield because we were in Division One of the AVCTL, and then we were in Division Two, so we didn't play Winfield for a few years. And Winfield was probably happy for that because that's back when, you know, we were playing all the big schools. But yeah, and I was around for those. You know, Mike Henson was 23-2 against Winfield, and I remember those games that we lost because they had
the two would have been early on, wouldn't they?
They had the Sandifar cousins, and one of them, it was like, I can't remember their names, but the Sandifars went on and were college basketball players, and they had the Hanna brothers as well, and they were big, burly guys that played football. Barry Hanna, in fact, went down to Oklahoma State and was a big-time tight end at Oklahoma State, so Winfield has had some tremendous players in their history, but it's been a long time since they've been really good. But the Bullpups have dominated that series. Again, Coach Kinnaman 38-0, Coach Strathman 19-0. Scott Schaefer was a paltry 24-1 as the girls' coach. So, you know, he did lose a game, and, you know, it's been a tremendous run. 55-1 over, you know, just since Coach Strathman and Coach Schaefer were there.
The girls have not lost to Winfield in the roundhouse since 1993. The boys have not lost to Winfield in the roundhouse since 1981. That is some dominance in that series. Okay, as we wrap this show up on the other side of the break, we talk a little bit about the Kansas City Chiefs and continue to kind of preview their matchup with the Los Angeles Chargers. You're listening to According to Jim on 96.7 FM KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell. According to Jim is brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead's Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping things up on today's According to Jim, Jim Joyner and Steve Sell on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online at midkansasonline.com. Steve, we hit a milestone yesterday. That was show number 50.
Wow.
Did you realize that?
Wow.
Did you have it marked on your calendar?
I didn't, but that is a milestone. We didn't know what was going to happen when we first started, but man, 50. We're halfway to 100.
Well, you know what they talk about when it comes to television syndication, that you try and hit those numbers. You hit 50, and then you hit 100. You try to get to 200 for all the syndication purposes. And so I guess for all the places that'll be syndicating our show, sorry for all the McPherson talk, I guess. I don't know how well this would go in a lot of other places, but it's been a great start so far here, and it helps even more that we've got the owners here in town.
Oh, yeah.
They're ready for show number 51. It was
you
a good
bet.
One.
You bet. You bet. Jerry and Diane Davies are here from California. They've been battling the fires out there.
Dodging the fire.
Man, I'll tell you what, it got pretty close to them, but they're here for a few days, and we're always glad to have our owners in town.
And speaking of Southern California, the Kansas City Chiefs will take on the LA Chargers, no longer the San Diego Chargers, on Saturday night at Arrowhead Stadium, 7:25. Our pregame starts on the Chiefs Fox Football Radio Network at 6 o'clock. I'm starting to feel a little bit better about this game, Steve. I did not pick the Chiefs, even though they were 3.5-point favorites against the Raiders last weekend. They are 1-point favorites against the Chargers. And
the lines move because they started out a 3-point underdog.
So I'm going to feel really stupid here in about 3 weeks if the Sandy or there we go.
There
the,
you go.
The first time I slipped on it, the LA Chargers, if they win the AFC West, because I made a point after about week 5 when the Chiefs were 5-0 and the Chargers were either 1-4 or 0-5, that I said, I cannot believe that people are paid that are paid to talk about sports and paid to talk about football picked the Chargers to win this division because they just look terrible. And I still don't think they're all that good. I still don't think Phillip Rivers is a top-tier quarterback in the NFL. But what they do have is a really good defense that is rolling right now.
They've got a great defense, 7-2 over their last 9 games. And it's basically been because of the defense and the fact Phillip Rivers has been throwing for a ton of yards. Phillip Rivers. He's had some tough games in Kansas City. And if you look at the history of these teams in the last 10 years or so, every game seems like it goes right down the last play of the game. I remember the year where the Chargers were in Kansas City, had a chance to win on the last play of the game through an incompletion in the end zone.
Yeah, but I was there that day.
Yeah,
it's raining.
It's just going to be a very difficult game for the Chiefs. They just do not ever blow the Chargers out. While they've won quite a few of the games,
I think they've won 7 in a row.
Yeah, and to win in L.A. or San Diego, that's pretty tough. Of course, now
Qualcomm Stadium, now an atmosphere there.
Every Charger game is like a road game for the Chargers because you looked at when they played the Chiefs early in the season, there were more Kansas City people there than there were L.A. people. Now they're starting to get a little bit of a crowd. Of course, their stadium only seats, 27,000. I don't know how the NFL has allowed them to get away with that. I don't know why they're not playing at the Coliseum or the Rose Bowl or some. Of course, if they were at the Rose Bowl, it looked like there's about 10,000 there. But anyway, Chargers, a very good football team, they like to run the ball. Melvin Gordon, a good back. And then Keenan Allen, when he's been healthy, he's been a Chiefs killer. But it was last year in the very first game, he was just torching the Chiefs.
Yeah, he was on my fantasy team.
Yeah, the Chargers were up like 24-3 in the first half. Keenan Allen was going off, and then he got a non-contact knee injury, was done for the year. I had him on my fantasy team last year. Yeah, and I had to drop him immediately. But that'll be a great game on Saturday night. It's supposed to be cold. That's a bonus for the Chiefs that it's going to be a little cold at night. And because you want the Chargers to play in cold weather. Kansas City's used to the cold weather. And, of course, Miami comes in next week, and they're used to the tropical weather.
I hear it might snow on the Christmas Eve game.
Wow, I had not heard that. Because somebody had told me there was no snow in the forecast for the rest of the year. But, we'd take a little snow on Christmas.
I'd take a little snow. So the Chiefs will play the L.A. Chargers on Saturday night, which is the weird scheduling as the NFL gets to a point here where there aren't as many college games. And so the Lions and the Bears play at like 3 o'clock on Saturday, and then the Chiefs will follow that up. So not only do you get the Raycom Media Camella Bowl on Saturday afternoon, you get the Chiefs later on that night.
Yeah, the college football bowl season, I think it...
The GoDaddy.com Belk Bowl.
I think they kick off here like on Friday or Saturday.
Yeah.
So I think there's, 41 bowl games this year?
41.
I used to do a column picking the outcome of all the bowl games, but I'd need 3 days to write it because every team that's 500 or better makes a bowl game. So...
The Big Bad Daddy Mowers Bowl.
the Idaho Potato Chip Bowl or something?
The famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Yeah. Famous Idaho Potato, big time brand, Steve.
Yeah, big baller.
Yeah, the big baller brand. There
we
go.
I'm surprised LeVar Ball says, hey, we need a big baller brand bowl game. But anyway, LeVar. Boy, we could do a whole show on LeVar with some of the crazy stuff he's done.
Yikes. Okay, well, that's a great note to end this show on. So we'll be back tomorrow. A lot of bullpup talk, a lot of Chiefs talk as we look ahead to a weekend full of sports. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll see you tomorrow at 12:30.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner was brought to you by Overhead Door Company of North Central Kansas, Mead Liquor, Great Plains Federal Credit Union, and Four Seasons Realtors. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE.